Now, in chapter 3, why we continue this tremendous teaching, the steps of the young man are steps now that are steps of responsibility. You see, he's left the home. He's moved out into a life today, out where the rubber meets the road, out where he's coming in contact with reality. Now, this is advice that's given to him, and his steps need to be ordered according to the Word of God. Oh, how important that is today. Now, that's the reason this jeweler over in Dallas years ago gave out the book of Proverbs by the thousands to young men. It's good advice, wonderful advice. Now, wisdom will be depicted to us as a woman here, but very easily we know today that wisdom, it happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He has been made unto us wisdom, and we need him today. So the young man needs Christ. Now, here in chapter 3 again, it starts out, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Now, we're on Jewish ground here. We need to understand that. But it has a great importance and significance for us today. He says here, do you notice? "Let thine heart keep my commandments." Isn't that an interesting statement? Now, this is just more than just submitting to duty. I hear so much of that it's our duty as a Christian. It's our duty to do this. Now, my friend, you won't like this, but it's not duty. It's the loving devotion to the will of God. Remember what the psalmist said? "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And you remember it was said of that young priest by the name of Ezra. He prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Now, there needs to be today the preparation of the heart. The Lord Jesus had his own up there in the upper room. You remember how he talked to them so friendly, so intimately, so personally, and so wonderfully of things that had never been revealed before. And he said to these men, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, may I say to you, he even goes, I think, even a little farther than that. He gets right down where we live. He says in John 14:23, "If a man love me, he'll keep my saying." You love him? Then he wants to talk to you. Now, don't come to me about this matter of duty. It's your duty to do this. Somebody said to me some time ago, "I feel that since you're on the radio, it's your duty to say this." My brother, will you forget the duty part of it? I love the Lord Jesus, and I really am trying to do what I think he wants me to do. He says for me to give out his word. He's sowing seed today. That's a picture of him, and I'm sowing seed under his direction. And I think that's the basis, my friend. That's the reason that sitting here in this studio and day after day making these tapes is wonderful. You know, if you love me, he says, if a man love me, he'll keep my saying. And he said to Simon Peter, the fellow had denied him. My, how terrible it was. And yonder to Sea of Galilee prepared breakfast for him, and I think Simon Peter avoided catching the eye of Jesus. Finally he did. Now, the Lord looked at him and said to him, "What do you mean denying me?" He didn't say that, did he? What he said to him was, "Simon, lovest thou me?" If you love him, my friend, it makes life so much brighter, richer, and more wonderful. Listen to him now. "Let not loving kindness and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and understanding in the sight of God and man." You see, loving kindness. Now, the law was given by Moses. but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Loving kindness. What is loving kindness? It's grace. But it's like the little girl said. She was asked by the teacher, what's the difference between kindness and loving kindness? And she says, well, if you go in and ask your mama for a piece of bread with some butter on it, and she gives it to you, says, that's kindness. But if she puts a little jam on it without you asking her, that's loving kindness. God puts a little jam on it, friends. Loving kindness and truth. Just let not these forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. You'll find favor and understanding in the sight of God and man. How wonderful this is. And we need today to recognize that the Word of God should be given out like this. Now I'm going to come to two verses that are very familiar today. When verses are called for in a meeting, somebody's going to get up and give Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I'm sure I've heard them 1,000 times in meetings where their verses are given. And I sometimes wonder if those who give them realize what a rich vein of truth they come out of. And they come out, remember, of this background of studying the Word of God. As Paul said to a young preacher, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, having done that, and then knowing something about the loving kindness, the grace and truth of God, and holding on to those things, now he says, trust in Jehovah with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now let's take a look at that for just a moment. It's, I think, a very solemn admonition, and yet it has such wonderful assurance to be guided in a way of peace. And you know what a contrast this is. Later on, over in the 28th chapter, verse 26, he says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. A man was telling me the other day that he was witnessing to some of these that are in the drug culture, I guess. And he said to this young man, he says, God loves you, young man. And the young man says, I don't need God to love me. I love myself. I don't need to trust in God. I trust in myself. Well, I wish this man had given him this verse. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But it's wonderful to trust in Jehovah with all your heart, totally committed to him. And this is something that's, I think, so definitely needed today, is a total commitment to him. Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart. I find myself again and again when certain situations arise, or I'm even in an airport and I find out that the plane I was to leave on, maybe his time's been changed, or it's delayed, it's bad weather. And I'm just not one of these that I just wasn't built with wings, and I never cared too much for flying. And I never expect to have wings in eternity either. But I generally go over to a corner of the airport, and I say, Lord, I want to trust you with all my heart. Now just help me to sit down here and just rest in you. That's when I need him. Trust in Jehovah with all thy heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. And I go to the window and I look at the weather, you know, and I make a prognostication. But he says, don't lean on thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. He led me here. He led me there. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Now, I never did this before, I must confess. But until I had cancer, I took every day just as it came. There's a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. That's the way I took life, but I don't take it that way anymore. Every time I come to a new day, I always like to go and look up at the sky and say, Lord, thank you for bringing me to a new day. Now, the sun may not be shining, or it may be. And it may be a gloomy day, or it may be a bright day, but whatever day, I thank him. Now, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. It took me a long time, friends, to find out what that meant in life. And you remember the Lord Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. That's an amazing thing. If you have committed yourself to God and you're going down a certain path, doing a certain thing, it's amazing how everything else drops into place. Your whole body is full of light. Your whole life is full of light at that time. Let me move on. This is a rich book, is it not? He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Jehovah and depart from evil. It shall be healing to thy sinew and moistening to thy bones. You know, I think that actually it's good health to trust in the Lord. It's wonderful to rest in him and not in yourself. And we're told today, let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Get you away from sin. Get you away from these things that corrode not only your spiritual life, but actually your physical life. He says now, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, this is total commitment. Remember that God told Israel when he put them in the land, he says, the land is mine, I'm giving it to you. Now, they were to bring a tenth. I think they actually gave three tithes to the Lord. One went to the temple, but one they brought at the very beginning when they had a crop. You know what they brought that for? Just to acknowledge that God was the owner of it. And that is an evidence of total commitment. Now, don't tell me you're totally committed until your pocketbook is committed to the Lord, too, because he gave you everything. I don't care who you are. If somebody says, I worked hard and got this. Who gave you health to work? Who gave you the work to do? Who made it possible for you to make money? Why, my friend, God did all that for you. And you acknowledge him. That's the evidence of total commitment. Somebody says, this is pretty mercenary, preacher, you're moving to today. Oh, no, this is spiritual. Real spirituality is not the length of the prayer that you pray. It's the length of the check that you write. That's really the way you tell spirituality. I've always found out when I was pastor that the person who did the most talking did the less giving. It always was true. And the man or the woman who wants to run the church, they sure do not do very much for the treasure. You may be sure of that. God has put it on that kind of basis, and that's the way it is. Now he says, my son, despise not the chastening of Jehovah. God's going to chasten you as you go along through life. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, God never whips the devil's children, but he sure does spank his own. That's a good evidence that you belong to him. You remember in the book of Job, we saw this. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. And by the way, this is not punishing. I would like to, and I wish I had time to dwell on this. We talked today a great deal about punishing criminals, and that's the word. We talk today, we punish our children. Don't you punish your child. Correct him. Punish the criminal. And I'm afraid we got some judges today that have got the thing all mixed up. I know a man, he's a judge. My, how he, when he's a little fella, he took him and slapped him across the room. I think he's wrong. He should have corrected him. That's his own. But he should have punished that criminal, but he let him off. My friend, we got it mixed up today. You punish criminals, you correct your children. How different it is. This is discipline, and this is what God uses for his own today. Now we are told here, verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, the man that getteth understanding, and happy is the man that findeth Christ. He's wisdom today. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Now, here in this book, wisdom has a school, and she's a she, because it's in contrast to the stranger woman. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. God did promise long life in the Old Testament for those that served him. You see, we need to recognize today that the same kind of bravery that is exhibited by men in order to get precious metals and jewels and the wealth of this world, well, we need to go after the Word of God like that. Needs to be like that. And we're told Jehovah by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. You know, it takes a pretty smart person to run this universe. Only God can do it. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the skies drop down their dew. Now, friends, we have seen this young man in the book of Proverbs. He started out as a little boy in the home where he was told to listen to his father and mother. He moved out into life, and as he did, facing a big world, why, he was instructed above all things to go after wisdom. In fact, he was not only challenged to do it, he was urged to do it. And he was told that it doesn't come easily. It requires study. It requires effort. It requires time. And the Spirit of God is not opening the Word of God to lazy minds. Only those that are alert and want to learn and want to know the will and the Word of God. And one of the, I think, great problems today is the fact that they're not willing to make the sacrifice to study. A great deal of laziness is covered over with a lot of pious jargon, a lot of pious platitudes, and a great many folk learn a nice little vocabulary that sounds good, and it covers up a woeful ignorance of the Word of God. And frankly, these are days when there's no excuse of being ignorant of the Word of God. We should study today. And it will require study. I think there's an American proverb that covers all of this. Doesn't sound very grammatical, but here it goes. Nobody don't never get nothing for nothing nowhere, no time, no how. That's the American version. Now we come here to verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. Now you and I live in a universe that is tremendously orderly. But the world by wisdom doesn't know God. Because today many of the great scientific minds are not Christian. I've been rather amazed at the number of folk who work in the space program that are believers. Many of them listen to our program, and we've rejoiced in that, of course, and many of them support our program. But it's strange to me that those who study the laws of nature and probe into the secrets of the universe are not brought to the realization that we live in a universe that just couldn't have happened. And if it did happen, how did it happen and where did it happen? And where is the chicken that hatched out the egg? You've just got to have that chicken somewhere along the line. And therefore, with this orderly universe, so orderly that you can take a rocket, send it out in space, put three men in it, they go to the moon, and they are able to land on the moon and come back. And you say, my man is sure smart. Yes, he's smart, all right. He just found out the laws of God, and that everything operates just like a computer. And my friend, if this was a universe by chance, it would not operate according to a computer. But they put that little computer working, and the rocket goes right there and comes back, because there's certain laws God has made. God by wisdom made this. And God is, and I do not mean to be irreverent, God is no dummy. You and I need to recognize that God is an intelligent person. And He, I think, would appreciate the fact that if we showed more intelligence, more knowledge of Him and His ways. Now, you find out about it in His school, the Word of God. That's the only place. Now, He goes on here, and He speaks of this. Verse 21, "My son, let them not depart from thine eyes." That is, God's knowledge. "Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck." You see, life and grace come through this wisdom of actually studying the Word of God. "Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." It's good for you when you're walking. "And then when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." There is today in the heart of man a certain fear, a certain hang-up that he has about life. And these things come to us. And what is the solution? And we spend most of our time either walking or lying down. And therefore, we need to recognize that a knowledge of the Word of God is the answer to all of that. How wonderful it is here to find out that the truth of God, it will hold us. It's not that you and I hold the truth, but the truth will hold us. Now, he goes on to say here in verse 25, "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the lawless when it cometh." Now, this is a verse that has meant a great deal to me. I have a hang-up on flying. I don't enjoy it. Very candidly, I sit there waiting for the plane to fall. You want to know the truth? I think, well, next minute, this is it. But this is a verse that has been of great encouragement and help to me. I take it with me when I go by plane, and I go by plane a great deal. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Don't be afraid of that next minute. God's taken care of the one you're in. He'll take care of the next one. "Neither of the desolation of the lawless when it cometh. For Jehovah shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." It's a time like that that you need to trust God. And that's when I really talk to Him. I say to Him, "Lord, this morning when I was in bed before I got up, I didn't really need You as much then as I do right now. Here I am up 38,000 feet in the air, and I'm just a little frightened. Now," I said, "this is the test. Give me that confidence and give me that assurance that You're going to keep my foot from falling." In fact, you don't worry up there about stumping your toe. You worry about other things. But it all amounts to the same thing. Now, will you notice, he goes on and says here, this is a marvelous, marvelous proverb that we're coming to here. In fact, several of them. "Withhold not good from its owners when it is in the power of thy hand to do it." There was a man, and the man was my dad. I have no reason to believe my dad was a Christian. He didn't like the organized church. He was opposed to it, and I'm sure very bitter about it. But I always felt he was rightly related to God personally in his life. And one of the reasons is, my dad, this is a long time ago, we'd be riding down in West Texas in a buggy down a country road. Well, a gate had come open, and a man's cows had gotten out. My dad would stop and drive the cows back in, and shut the gate, old wire gate. I can see him now as he had pulled that gate to and put that wire over the top. And he'd get back in the buggy. He'd not say anything to anybody. And he never mentioned it to the man, what he'd done. It was things like that in his life that made me believe that he knew God probably a little better than some of the saints that I meet today. Withhold not good from its owners when it's in the power of thy hand to do it. And then notice this, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Oh, how many people today say, well, now, I'm going to support your program. You can count on me. But I have to wait until something comes in, my ship comes in. Well, my friend, they got a bank account right there and then. They could have written a check for the radio program. Now, I use that as an illustration because it's pretty vital and very close to me. But very candidly, friends, how many people do that? They use that type of an excuse in all relations of life. They say, now, I can't help you right now. You come back tomorrow. And they could have done it right there and then. And we're told, oh, no man ought but love. That is something about the child of God that ought to reveal him. You know, when you and I owe money to another person, that money we have is not ours. It belongs to the other man. And to use it for our own purposes actually is dishonesty. And that's the thing that he's saying here. And verse 29, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth confidently by thee. You've got a good neighbor. And don't do things that would be to your advantage, but to his disadvantage. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses by undermining the Joneses. That is what he's saying here. And it's to abuse a confidence. How wonderful it is to have a neighbor. And you say, would you sort of keep an eye on my place? I'm going to be gone a few days. And you get back and you find out that he did quite a few things. Well, he doesn't say anything about it. These are practical things. And friends, it reveals a man's relationship to God. Because these are things that God is saying to us today. Be very practical. Now he says, strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. We are told to resist not evil. Now, under the law, it was a sin to strive with another without adequate ground. But under grace, God says to us, avenge not yourself. Vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. We leave the pathway of faith and trust in God when you and I take matters in our own hands. I think that if we've been done unjustly, turn the individual over to God and let God deal with him. I have found out over a period of many years as a minister that someone does you harm, you can hit back. But go to God. Let him know that you've been hurt and tell him about it. And turn them over to God and tell the Lord, this is your business. You said you'd take care of it. You know, and I've watched over a period of years, God deals with folk like that. These are wonderful proverbs. They're helpful not only for young men, but old men too, and women and girls, in fact, the human race. And then verse 31, envy thou not the violent man and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to Jehovah, but his secret is with the righteous. Now, there are certain people that are actually an abomination to the Lord. And in fact, the matter is, you're going to find out a little later, some of the things God hates. And he mentions them here in Proverbs. We'll be getting to that. Now, he says here, the curse of Jehovah is in the house of the lawless, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Now, there's something I haven't been following along very carefully here. Remember, I said at the beginning, you'll find a proverb for every character in the Bible and most of your friends. I think you'll have a proverb for them. Now, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. That's Ahab. I tell you, God certainly judged that house. And this is the proverb that would fit him just like a glove. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. Now, God seems to hate the scorner, the arrogant, the conceited. And then we're told here, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. There are quite a few that fits, and maybe you know somebody, but we're not going to get personal here today. Now, we find that there were many in that day that envied the rich, and then they found out, old Asaph did, that God judged the rich.